This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up this afternoon, Arizona Senator Jeff Flake became the second incumbent Republican senator to announce that he would not be running for re-election. Why? We'll talk about it. Also, a bipartisan group of lawmakers are calling upon Secretary of State Rex Tillerson to relist North Korea as a state sponsor of terrorism. One of those members of Congress, Ohio Congressman Brad Winstrup, is here in just a moment to explain. And are Democratic politicians preoccupied with bathrooms? It would seem so. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper unilaterally threw open restroom and shower doors across the state with an executive order ignoring the legislature and the people. Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest is here with that story. Also, both the House and the Senate have announced investigations into the Obama-era uranium deal and Hillary Clinton. Tom Fenton, president of Judicial Watch, is here later on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. All right, the House has just called votes, and so Brad Winstrup is going to be joining us from the cloakroom here momentarily on the issue of calling upon the Secretary of State to relist North Korea as a state sponsor of terrorism. Also going to get an update from him on the tax reform effort that's underway on Capitol Hill. A lot of deal-making going on. That's going to be unfolding here in the next couple of weeks, so he's going to have an update on that. But first, big news today in Washington with Arizona Senator Jeff Flake being the second incumbent Republican senator to announce they would not be running for re-election. Folks, this is big, okay? Because a senator usually sits on a lot of money, a lot of influence. Very rarely does somebody take on an incumbent successfully. And Bob Corker, being the other one who was at odds with the president, Jeff Flake, another one who is at odds with the president, both of them have something in common. They are both left-of-center Republicans, and they're feeling the heat. Here's what Jeff Flake had to say earlier today from the Senate floor.
Sustained incumbency is certainly not the point of seeking office, and there are times when we must risk our careers in favor of our principles. Now is such a time. Mr. President, I rise today to say enough. It must also be said that I rise today with no small measure of regret. Regret because of the state of our disunion. Regret because of the disrepair and destructiveness of our politics. Regret because of the indecency of our discourse. Regret because of the coarseness of our leadership. Regret for the compromise of our moral authority. And by our, I mean all of our, complicity in this alarming and dangerous state of affairs. It is time for our complicity and our accommodation of the unacceptable to end. We must stop pretending that the degradation of our politics and the conduct of some in our executive branch are normal. They are not normal.
Okay, so what do you do? Quit? If you are driven by your convictions, you work to change the process. But what he's doing, he's quitting. Now, I'm not sad about that because his voting record is not very conservative at all. And Arizona, while it also has Senator McCain, it is a right-of-center state. I mean, we're a right-of-center nation. But the Senate increasingly has become more right-of-center when you look at the Republicans because it takes a lot of money to get there, a lot of compromise. But what's happening as a result of last year's election in November, there is a popular uprising. People are saying enough is enough. And the reason that these senators are dropping, I would say like flies, but it's not quite like that. The reason they're dropping out is because they don't want to lose. And they know that they're on the wrong side of the electorate. And so they're throwing in the towel. This is not about the president. This is about the people. people are tired of sending, especially Republicans, to Washington only to hear that they can't get things done. Now, need I go back and recount the history here in the last 7 years? Let's go back. Obamacare passed in 2009. People said, enough. We don't want this. We don't want to cram down our throats. Republicans said, give us the majority. They gave them the House. They did some things, didn't accomplish anything. They said, we need the Senate. All right. Gave them the Senate. Well, we can't quite get it done. We need the White House. Okay. They got the White House. And then what happened? They still did not repeal Obamacare. People are demanding that the politicians keep their promises. And why the heat is being ratcheted up on some of these guys is because, unlike themselves, the president has been keeping his promises, at least trying to. And so they're feeling the heat. I think it's good. I don't think he's the last. I think you're going to see some others are going to drop by the wayside as well, rather than face defeat. I mean, that's actually how I won my first election when I ran. I was running against a 20-year incumbent, and he did not represent the people. He was, he was liberal. And he felt the heat, and he dropped out. And so, folks, this is the time to challenge the status quo. All right? I agree with the standpoint of, we got to do something. Yes, we do. We've got to change the way our government works. Challenge the status quo. And that's from the school board all the way up. Every political incumbent who is more concerned about, maintaining their office, being reelected, and, being in the cocktail circle and having people write nice things about them. The people that are more concerned about that than representing the people who elected them and abiding by the Constitution, you know what? They need challengers. They need to be, maybe they need to change their vocations. All right, folks, we're going to be tracking this. This is going to be big because there's a big election cycle coming up, and I think we're going to have a chance to see some true conservatives elected. Speaking of true conservatives, as I mentioned at the top of the program, several members of Congress, a bipartisan group, has called upon the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, to relist North Korea as a state sponsor of terrorism. And one of the conservative signers of that letter joins me now, Congressman Brad Winstrup. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of Ohio. He serves on the Armed Services Committee and the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. He's also a doctor, an Army Reserve officer, and an Iraq War veteran. And he is the friend, he's the one that lent aid to my friend Steve Scalise after that shooting at the baseball field. Brad, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks. Good to be with you.
Well, let's talk about this call for the Secretary of State to relist North Korea as a state sponsor of terrorism.
Yeah, this is something that many of us have wanted to see put in place for some time. As you may know, I think it was really brought to a head, even further highlighted with the case of Otto Warmbier, a young man from my district, a very fine young man who liked traveling the world. He was a Virginia student, University of Virginia student, and he went to North Korea, and they ended up taking him and holding him hostage and essentially killed him and tortured him during that time. And his family has become very involved in wanting to see that some type of justice is done because of their son's death, and they've came to us in a bipartisan fashion to engage in asking the secretary to put them back on the state's sponsors of terror list, as they should be. And this made the case very personal, I guess, for a lot of people, especially me, but to many people in Congress. And it is a bipartisan effort that's taking place at this time.
Now, Congressman Winstrup, I know you that you're in the cloakroom and you're in the middle of votes. So if you need to go, you just tell us that, and
okay,
that'll be fine. But let me two questions in particular I want to ask is, we know without a doubt that Otto was in fact he was tortured and abused.
Do we know that?
Yes.
Considering the state that he was returned in from North Korea, it becomes pretty evident. And I don't want to get into the details of that, but this was an outstanding young man with a bright future, great grades, well accomplished, valedictorian of his high school. And that's not the Otto Warmbier that came back from North Korea.
But there were physical manifestations that appeared to suggest that he was abused.
Especially brain damage. So yes.
Right. Okay. Yes. Just wanted to establish that fact. I talked to others, and I just want to make sure that people, our listeners, understood that this is not conjecture, that there is evidence to suggest that this happened. What happens if North Korea then is placed back onto this list? What's the effect of that?
Well, it has a greater effect as far as dealings with the country itself. And today in the House, we also passed to increase more sanctions against North Korea. And we're really trying to reach out to a much broader standpoint to use the diplomatic tools and economic tools that we can. You know, basically, if you're a bank, we don't want you dealing with North Korea. If
Right.
you are hiring North Koreans in your country to work cheaply and they are taking their earnings and actually, well, against their will, I would say, giving it back to the North Korean government, and that is aiding and abetting North Korea, and we're trying to hurt them as much as we can economically, and, of course, to increase the diplomatic pressure, which the UN has tried to do, but Kim Jong-un seems to want to continue with his antics, but we're going to continue to try and make it more and more difficult for him to continue.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday on the program, discussing how they're trying to tighten the screws, so to speak, on North Korea, bringing them back to the table, especially as it deals with their nuclear capabilities.
Absolutely. And, you know, some people have criticized the president for the things that he has said. But I think that's what we want from our commander-in-chief as citizens of this country is for someone to say, if you harm our citizens, if you attack our country, then it's not going to be a good ending for you. It's not the way we want to go, but I think the president's just made it clear that we're going to continue to try other things. But if you do that, it will not end well for you. And I think that's legitimate, and I want to hear that from my commander-in-chief that says that we will defend this country.
Well, and I hope the North Korean dictator and other rogue leaders will take note of that as well. Brad Winstrup, thank you so much for joining us and taking time off the House floor to talk with us.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Congressman Brad Winstrup of Ohio represents the 2nd Congressional District there on the House floor. They're voting this afternoon. Okay. Still more Washington Watch to come. When we return, we'll be talking about North Carolina. They've been in the spotlight again. This time, the governor unilaterally throwing open the bathroom and shower doors of state facilities against the wishes of the people and the expressed legislative intent of the legislature. That's next. Don't go away.
We've gone from give me liberty or give me death to take care of me, please. What has happened to the American spirit? Our colleges were once bastions of free speech. Now they're bastions of speech codes. Our culture once rewarded independence. Now it rewards victimhood. Parents once taught their kids how to fend for themselves. Now, any parent who tries may get a visit from the police. In a talk about his new book, Not a Daycare, Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, takes a hard look at what's happening around the country, including demands for safe spaces and trigger warnings at universities like Yale, Brandeis, and Oberlin, and digs in his heels against the sad and dangerous dumbing down of the American spirit. Dr. Piper has become known for his passionate defense of intellectual freedom, and he challenges the intolerant tolerance of today's academic community. go to frc.org/speakers to watch. Again, that's frc.org/speakers. In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday afternoon. Some more breaking news today. You'll recall we were discussing last week the illegal immigrant minor that was in custody of the Refugee Resettlement Program, and the issue of abortion was there. A three-judge panel in D.C., overruled a lower court that said the government had to provide the abortion. Well, today, a full panel of the D.C. Circuit overturned the three-judge panel, sending it back to the district, allowing the order to seek an abortion to stand. I know it sounds confusing. Now we're waiting to see if the DOJ will appeal that to the Supreme Court, which I hope they will. This is much bigger than this one 17-year-old girl. It's a huge, huge issue at stake here. All right. Since North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper took office, he's worked hard, very hard. In fact, this is why he ran for office, I think. He's preoccupied with bathrooms. To undo House Bill 2 that protected women and children's privacy in restrooms, locker rooms, showers, so on and so forth. And he's forced business owners to follow practices that go against their deeply held beliefs. Now, Cooper has issued an executive order that will once again will overturn what the legislature did in protecting the privacy of men and women and children, and is now ordering this into, as we understand, state facilities and anyone who does business with the state. Now, where does he get this kind of authority? Joining us now is the Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Dan Forrest. Governor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. It's always good to be with you. Hope you're having a great day.
Well, I am. I'm a little. This is like a ping pong match there in North Carolina. I thought there was a compromise over this amended HB 2 that everybody was happy with that would let this issue remain as it was until 2020 or 2018, and now the governor's unilaterally acting.
Well, you know, not only that, Tony, what we saw was during the last election was the governor, now Governor Cooper, who was running for governor to unseat our Governor McCrory at the time, used this as a political football back then, too, punting it around to saying, hey, you know, we don't need this kind of social policy out there impacting the state, impacting businesses, deterring businesses from our state. We need to get rid of this. We need to get back to the business of the state. We need to get back to economic development, and we need to get this bathroom issue behind us. And here we are, you know, 9-10 months into his administration now. This is the really the first thing he's done as governor, and he is bringing bathroom policy back. And not only that, interestingly enough, the bill that was created to the compromise bill, if you will, as you called it, was created to kind of put HB2 on the back burner, set it aside. It said that nobody can create bathroom policy. That can only be done by the General Assembly. So the governor can't do it. Nobody else can do it. Local municipalities can't do it. And here you have the governor going out trying to regulate access to bathrooms. And so right on the surface, to me, that looks like it's an illegal act by the governor.
Interesting. I wasn't aware of that. I had thought about that aspect of it. So the governor is actually violating the letter of HB 142, which, as you said, was kind of the compromise on this to kind of put it on the back burner. So will someone then, who has standing to take legal action?
Well, I think the General Assembly does. I think it'll be interesting to see what the General Assembly does when they come back into sessions. We're still in session. They're kind of coming in and out on a regular basis. It'll be interesting to see what they do related to this, or if they do anything at all related to it. I mean, this is, as you know, beyond just bathroom policy. It's certainly beyond the transgender issue. And I know you've stated that more than a million times on your show, and I have too, related to gender identity and gender expression, because the executive branch protections protect the classes of gender identity and gender expression. And as you and I both know, and many of your listeners are very well aware, that somebody that's gender fluid can wake up in the morning and they can, if they're a male, they can say they feel like a female. And at lunch, they can say they feel like a male. And at dinner, they can say they feel like a female. And nobody can tell them any different based on this notion called gender fluidity. And so if you're talking about an individual going into a bathroom, a man that is not transgender at all, but for the 5 minutes, 10 minutes he's in a bathroom, a women's facility says he is a female, he can say, you know, I'm expressing myself as a female for those 10 minutes. He walks out and he says, I'm expressing myself as a male. There's nothing the law can do to stop that. So it's very interesting to see, you know, how far this will actually travel. And as you mentioned in your lead-in to this segment here, it goes beyond just bathrooms. It goes into contract law with the government, with the executive branch of government as well.
I would think, Lieutenant Governor, that private businesses that are now being lassoed into the Governor Cooper's, you know, make-believe world, that they would have standing, because now they have, if they want to have a contract, or they have a contract, they do business with the state, they're going to have to adjust their policies.
Yeah, I mean, according to the letter of his executive order, yeah, absolutely they will. See how far that ends up going, but it only takes one person out there to kind of file suit in some way to see if that will be upheld. But yeah, that's kind of what it looks like to me. And again, you know, this is what Governor Cooper was running on last time, to do away with all this foolishness, and here we are again.
Yeah, he's keeping it front and center. When you know, he said the state should be focused on growing the economy, which it was growing, and making the state a better place to do business, which it was. It seems like he's the one that may be muddying the water there in the state.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's certainly disingenuous to the voters that elected him, perhaps even for that purpose, and certainly disingenuous to the business community, who he is now really in some way turning his back on. But, you know as well as I do, Tony, that he raised millions of dollars from Human Rights Campaign and their supporters for this very issue, and he's going to make sure it stays front and center so that he has millions more in his pocket when next election comes around.
Well, hopefully there'll be some citizens there that still think that the rule of law should carry the day and challenge the governor on this. Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, as always, great to talk with you, my friend.
As always, it's good to be with you, Tony. Hope you have a great day. Take care.
All right, you too. Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest of the state of North Carolina. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Interesting, more cases of assaults in public restrooms with these transgender policies. One up in Casper, Wyoming. recently. All right, when we come back, more on Russia and the tables being turned on the Democrats. That's next with Tom Fenton. Don't go away.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, yesterday, we were talking about new information coming out. You know, ever since the election, we've heard about the collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians, and the Democrats were all over this. Well, they've grown eerily silent. And why is that? Well, it appears the tables could be turning. Going back to 2009, a Justice Department investigation into the Russians and uranium and the Clinton Foundation, all this stuff now beginning to surface, and it could end up being that the Democrats become the target of this Russian probe. Joining me now is Tom Fenton with Judicial Watch. He's been covering this closely. And, of course, Judicial Watch, the ones that brought to the forefront Hillary's emails on her bathroom server. And that factors back into this as well. Tom, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
I'm great. Were the Democrats playing Russian roulette with this investigation? Is it now turning on them?
Well, I suspect inevitably it was going to, and the Mueller investigation and the hysteria based on no evidence that President Trump had colluded with the Russians was a distraction from the reality of massive financial collusion that it now turns out, according to reports, the Obama Justice Department and FBI was aware of, where you had the Russians sending millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation and money directly to the Clintons in order to sway decision-making on this Uranium One project. And that's the scandal of the day. And what's even more scandalous is I'm convinced that rather than pursue issues like that, the Obama Justice Department used slim reeds, to put it charitably, to try to spy on the Trump campaign because they were supposedly concerned about the Russians, when in fact they really had no reason to be concerned, but they should have been concerned about what the Clintons had been up to.
How was this information, or how did this information stay basically hidden, even from members of Congress?
Well, Congress never really asked. Congress can't rely on the administration, any administration, to be proactive in issues like this, especially politically sensitive ones. And it is a scandal the Justice Department and the FBI did not tell Congress, and indeed that's the case, about this bribery scheme that the Russians were involved in terms of Secretary of State Clinton. Yeah, but on the other hand, Tony, this issue about Uranium One, at least key elements of it, was highlighted beginning in 2015. So, in 2014, Judicial Watch exposed the fact that this Russian front gave money to the Clintons through a speech for worth $500,000. No speech is worth $500,000. That should have been a blaring warning light at the time. Congress has done zero hearings since then. And today, finally, we hear the Intelligence Committee is going to look into it, and they're going to be looking into the Obama and FBI Justice Department decision-making last year, the House Judiciary Committee and Trey Gowdy's Oversight Committee. I'm glad they're coming to the party, but they're way late.
Well, this is an issue of national security. I mean, we're talking about uranium, the Russians gaining control of the uranium company here in the United States. I mean, this is an issue of national security.
It is an issue of national security, and it's an issue of our government processes being impacted by intervention by the Russians in the form of large donations to the Clinton Foundation and monies to the Clintons personally. So it's the sort of story that you would think every media organization would be interested in. But unless us conservatives push for proper investigations and prosecutions if necessary, I guarantee you nothing's going to be done because the media is just going to fall a lockstep behind the left narrative on Russia.
Now, Tom, one of the concerns I have is that some of the very individuals that were involved back during this time period, going back to 2009 in the FBI and the Department of Justice, are still around. They're in the Department of Justice.
That's right. It was Mueller's FBI. Rod Rosenstein, who's number two, was overseeing allegedly the investigation. And a lot of that leadership over at DOJ and FBI is still there. Andrew McCabe, the number two of the FBI, was an avowed Russia expert, Russia corruption expert. So I suggest some type of clean team be brought in to make sure that we know what went on. Someone who doesn't have an instinct to protect the government institutions at the DOJ and FBI, someone who can be independent and figure out exactly why this investigation was mishandled the way it was. There were prosecutions related to this bribery scheme, but the Justice Department purposely downplayed them and downplayed the connection to the decision-making of the Obama administration on this uranium deal.
Yeah, and they pled to lesser charges, and again, Congress not really in the loop on that. I would hope that these hearings would lead to something, but Tom, history tells us that not likely that Congress will do much with them.
Well, let's hope so. In the meantime, we'll just keep on our with our investigations and lawsuits.
All right. Well, you're doing a great job, Tom Fenton at Judicial Watch. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Folks, this is one of the things where we really need to call upon our members of Congress, and these are Republicans that are having these hearings. They did it on Benghazi, but what did that lead to? I mean, they had the hearings, the information got out there, but not much was done with it. This information, when it comes out in these hearings, we need to make sure that the Trump administration does something with it. They should not let this go until something is done. All right, when we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls here on Washington Watch. So don't go away. We're coming back with more after this.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
In a free country like ours, it's easy to forget that slavery still exists. Human beings are being trafficked and sold for sex against their will. Human trafficking is a horrifying scourge that continues to haunt America, particularly through the proliferation of illegal online transactions between traffickers and buyers. As part of the FRC Speaker Series, Congresswoman Ann Wagner discusses congressional anti-human trafficking initiatives and how the conservative community can best be engaged in combating this horrific crime. Congresswoman Wagner, who introduced highly anticipated legislation in April that allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking, focuses on online sex trafficking via Backpage.com and other websites, and confronting the demand for sex trafficking in American culture. Find out more about Congresswoman Wagner's recent legislation and ways you can help stop trafficking at frc.org/speakers. Again, that is frc.org/speakers.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Hey, let me remind you folks, coming up this spring, April the 17th, we'll be taking a group of our friends to Israel. This will be our second trip with friends of FRC. Be going over there. Joel Rosenberg, New York Times bestselling author on Middle East novels, he'll be there. General Jerry Boykin will be with us, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, former Ambassador to the United Nations Ken Blackwell will be with us. So we got a great lineup, and you can come along too. Go to TonyPerkins.com and find out more. All right, here's what I want to talk about. Going back to the top of the program, Jeff Flake, Senator of Arizona, announcing today on the Senate floor that he will not seek re-election. Now, give me the background there. His opponent has, I don't know that she's had outright support from the president yet, but he had said nice things about her. He has not said nice things about Jeff Flake because Jeff Flake has opposed the president on a lot of the policy initiatives, and quite frankly, he's been on the opposite side of a lot of issues with us. He's left of center. And so he's feeling the heat, and he announced today that he is not going to seek re-election. Like Bob Corker from Tennessee, who a couple of weeks ago made the same announcement. Even though he was sitting on millions of dollars and was an incumbent senator. Look, folks, I ran for the U.S. Senate. All right, I've been in part of Senate races. I am very familiar with it. And an incumbent stepping down when they're sitting on usually a treasure chest of money. It's hard to challenge a senator, extremely hard to challenge a sitting senator. So this is big news. But here's the question I have for you. Do you want to see more Republican senators that represent the status quo to be challenged? You want to see more challengers? There are a number of Senate seats up, and there are some left-of-center members that are up for re-election, this could be very significant. I mean, we could be seeing a major shift politically, a continuation of what happened last November. And you know, I say, hey, the more the merrier. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Do you want to see more of these status quo senators being challenged? You know, they keep saying, well, you know, we just, you gotta, we just need a few more people and then we can do it. We just need, we've got to have the 60 votes. I'm actually convinced that even if it was at 50 votes, given the current weak-kneed Republican leadership, that we wouldn't see most of this stuff. I mean, and what you say, well, what do you base that on? Well, I base it on the fact that in reconciliation that would have repealed Obamacare, they only needed 51 votes, and they couldn't get it. My point. 866-372-7234. Hey, we got some new stations joining the listening audience of Washington Watch, some new bot radio network stations in Burlington, Iowa. We welcome you, as well as Keokuk, Iowa, and Quincy, Illinois, and Hannibal, Missouri. Welcome to the listening audience of Washington Watch. And you can, you can call in. Be the first caller from one of our new stations, 866-372-7234. Let's go to David in Tennessee. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, Tony. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you this afternoon?
I am well. I was calling. I have put on Twitter that Bob Corker needs to resign immediately. He cannot represent the people of Tennessee. We overwhelmingly voted for Donald Trump and the Trump agenda. We did not vote for the Bob Corker agenda. Bob Corker needs to represent the people of Tennessee, and he cannot do that. He has a terrible conflict of interest. He needs to resign immediately. I call on the legislature in the state of Tennessee to recall Bob Corker immediately, put pressure on him to resign, and have the legislature appoint a representative for the state of Tennessee until the election can be held. He has got to go.
Well,
also, Jeff Flake should do the same thing. The people of Arizona should recall him immediately.
You know, it's an interesting a point. I hadn't thought about that, but even today, Corker was in a Twitter battle with the president, since the president was headed to Capitol Hill to meet with.
He is representing Bob Corker, not the people of Tennessee. We are on the Trump train. We are with our president. We've overwhelmingly voted for our president, and he has got to go. And the legislature can appoint a member to represent us. I suggest Andy Holt, and until the election can be held.
All right. Well, David, I appreciate the call.
Piper.
Well, Marsha's going to be running. Marsha's going to be running. She's out there, and she's good. David, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. And, clearly he's now trying. And I think Flake will probably be the same thing, trying to justify their stand by just being obstructionist to the president. Now, I agree with David that, you know, I'm on the Trump train as long as the train's heading the right direction. And as soon as if it were to take a detour or derail, I'm off of it. But let me just say this again. I think that the president is pushing forward systematically with the policies that he promised in the election, more so than any Republican president that I have seen. And I don't want to take anything with Ronald Reagan. He was a great president. But I wasn't that close to it, okay? I was in the Marine Corps at the time, just right out of high school. But let me just say this. In my tenure in politics, which goes back a little over 20 years, this guy is doing it. And yes, if the people supported it, we got to move it along. Again, David, thanks for the call. Let's go to Vicki in Alabama. Vicki, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, this is
Vicki. Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. I just want to say I have been in prayer about this for so long, and I think it's so wonderful because I believe it's the God of Israel that's cleaning the swamp, and I believe he's getting them out, and we're standing for him and him only, and he knows it. And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that's happening because he's going to win it.
Well,
and we are too. We'll win when he wins.
Well, thank you for the call. And actually, you've got one going on there in Alabama. You've got a special election coming up in December, Roy Moore. And it's interesting, I've been watching this race, that some Republicans either staying out, not getting involved, or there's reports, and I haven't verified them independently, but reports, I wouldn't be surprised, I've seen it before, Republicans giving aid to the Democrat in this race. Because I was involved in a Senate race years ago, shortly after I was elected, when I was just a political novice and somehow got involved in a Senate race, and remember going to Washington and being in some of these behind-closed-door meetings with the Republican leadership, with the candidate, and them telling him, don't talk about abortion, don't talk about, you know, these social issues. And they were scared to death that this guy was going to get elected and make them talk about the things they didn't want to talk about. And so they didn't really help him. And it was ended up in a contested election because of voter fraud from the Democratic side. And instead of standing and fighting, they just backed away. And I think if it had been a moderate, they probably would have stood and fought for the moderate. But they couldn't control this guy. Anyway, all right, let's go to Jan in Texas. Jan, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I think that if many of us that voted for Trump and for our values, I believe that we'll come forth and do the same to get these guys out. And I'm just tickled to death that they're bailing. That is just pure answered prayer. And mainly because of you, I think you've done an awesome job.
Well, thank you, Jan. I appreciate that. But let me underscore something you said. That is that we've got to vote them out. So there's this thinking, Jan, on the part of some that, look, we did our work in November. We elected Donald Trump, and so we can just kind of go back to business as usual. We've got to push forward. And we've got to be involved in these midterm elections in 2018, supporting the good guys. And look, there are some good guys up there. You hear them on this program. They're trying very hard. They don't get a lot of press, they get a lot of spotlight on them, but they're working hard. We need to support them. But we need to get behind some of these challengers that are out there challenging these left of center senators. So, Jan, thanks so much. I appreciate the kind words. Thanks for calling in and being a part of the Washington Watch audience. 866-372-7234. The phone line's full, but keep trying. We're going to try to get as many calls as we can. Let's go to Indiana, where Daniel is on the line. Daniel, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, thanks. And thanks for everything that you do.
Well, thank you.
I'm a truck driver, and I listen to your show a bit, and you know, good riddance to Corcoran, good riddance to Flake. We need to drain the swamp, and I think Bannon's got a great plan moving forward. We don't need the lobbyist money. We need the people. People's voices heard, and that's the way I see that. I'm 50 years old. I've seen this time and time again where, you know, the right or, you know, a lot of congressmen and women will say one thing and they'll vote another way or they won't. I mean, and then Mitch McConnell saying, hey, we need you know, we need to make sure we get people in there to get the votes. You know, that's his last-ditch effort to say something like that to salvage his place in the Congress as well.
Well, I agree. Daniel, thanks so much for the call, and thanks for listening and drive safely out there on the roads. This is what I say about it. Oftentimes we see these elections, and, you know, it goes from the Republicans to the Democrats. Most of my life, and again, I've been involved up front in politics for over two decades now. Never thought I would be, never was interested in politics until I was like 33 years old, got elected. And what often happens is they change jerseys, but they run the same place. There's no change. It's time to change things. If we're going to continue to do things the same way we've done them forever, how do we expect different results? So I absolutely agree. We've got to elect new people, and not people who want to make a career out of politics. When I ran on a two-term self-imposed limit. Now, I tell you, at the end of that, my 8 years, I had people say, well, you're a leader. We need your conservative leadership. People would understand they want you to stay. And I could have walked in. I could have walked into a third term. I had no opposition. But I said, no, I'm only running for two terms. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to force myself to get out of my comfort zone and do something to make a contribution. And so I think people who go into politics, and if they do it the right way, it's a sacrifice. Believe me, it's a sacrifice. But that's what we need. We need people who bring the creative energy into this process, give it all that they have, and then they go home. They're not looking to make a career out of this and make it comfortable for themselves. All right, let me work in another call here. Let's go to Ohio where Joe is on the line. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Mr. Perkins. Thank you very much for your ministry and taking my call. And I echo the sentiments of your previous callers, David in Tennessee. I love his passion. And the only way to drain the swamp is I urge your listeners to stop sending money to Washington. Stop sending your money to the Republican Party. I stopped in 2010. And send your fine conservative candidates out there, Judge Roy Moore. Send your money directly to him. Marsha in Tennessee, send your money directly to her. Support the conservative candidates. Please do not send your money to Washington. It's the only way we've got a chance to drain the swamp is take it back. O'Bannon was on, or Steve Bannon was on the Sean Hannity show the other night. He's going to primary these rhino weak-kneed Republicans and get them out of there.
Yeah.
It didn't get corrupt overnight. We're not going to change it overnight, but strap it on. We're in for the long haul, and we can take our country back one seat at a time. And Judge Roy Moore was a huge start. And there's Bob getting trading Corker for Marsha. Blackburn will be another big step in the right direction. But we got to get these rhinos and these Democrats dressed up like Republicans. We've got to get them out of the Congress. We've got to.
All right, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. And you're absolutely right, Joe. I hope you're still listening. You're absolutely right. I've long advocated don't send your money to the party. All right? And I know that makes party officials upset, but I don't care. Send them directly to a conservative candidate. If you know the candidate, you vetted the candidate, give the money to them. Or there's political action committees like we have. You can find out more about FRC. Go to TonyPerkins.com. We support these candidates. We vet them. We know where they stand. But put your money where you know it's going to go to a candidate who reflects your values. And I've sat down, I've talked with Steve Bannon. I know the plan. And I think it's a doable plan. It's working. I mean, that's why Flake is peeled off. And there's more to come. Watch it. There's more to come. Sorry we didn't get to the rest of the calls, but we're out of time again. But Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow night, and I invite you to come back and bring a friend. Listen to Washington Watch. Connect. Let's take our government back. Let's change America from the bottom up. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.